Well, we go from the day the music died to music on stage
yes.
at the Racine Theater Guild. And with me is Jocelyn Fish, Director of Marketing and Development for the Racine Theater Guild. And thanks, Jocelyn, for coming by.
Oh, of course.
What year is this for the Guild?
That I've been there?
80s? No.
The Theater Guild itself is its 88th season.
88th?
Mm-hmm.
88th.
Middle of our 88th season.
Yeah, this is our 99th year here, so it's not that far apart. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so normally we talk about the latest show coming up, but before we talk about all the shows straight ahead, I got to tell you, saw Ripcord with my wife this past weekend. In the 30-some-odd years I've been going there, this could be my favorite show. Mm.
I think it touched so many audience members in so many wonderful ways. And even in this, you know, it's really nice to have a show like this in the middle of a very, very cold streak of weather, too. You know, you come out of the house, you sit in the theater, you kind of warm up a little with this story that makes you laugh, makes you a little sad at points.
Yeah, that's what I said,
Yeah. And really great chemistry between the cast and the crew, and the audience is just loved it, which was so wonderful.
Well, Sister Sarge, Linda,
yes.
was in here, and she's got a personality,
yeah,
let me
she
tell
does.
You.
Yeah, yeah.
And it came through, but the chemistry between her and the other lead, I can't think
Dawn,
of
it. Dawn Van Ness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the chemistry between those two made the whole show.
Yeah.
Because you really believe these two characters were on each other's nerves.
Each other, yeah.
And it was so well done.
Oh, great.
The surprises, the shocks, and everything else. And I don't know who picked that.
Yeah.
Who picked that as the show you're going to perform? Is it a committee?
The play reading committee. And, you know, that's one of the really cool things is that that is a show that people don't know. And so I think people were really surprised how much it meant to them sitting in the audience and watching it, because they think, oh, it's only the big names that make an impact. And it's like, no, this is a newer show that really hits you.
Yeah, I was really, we felt great after it was over. My wife and I talked about it, and it was so good, Ripcord. If you missed it, that's your problem. All right, now we've got something for the kids coming up this weekend,
yes.
the SpongeBob Musical Youth Edition.
Yes, so under our Racine Children's Theater umbrella, which is actually in its 93rd season.
Whoa.
Yeah. Older than the Theater Guild. Horlick High School Theater Arts Department has been working on this. It is a musical based off of SpongeBob, the Nickelodeon TV show. It was very big on Broadway. This is the youth audition, so it will be an hour long, $7 tickets, which is great. But if you look at who did music on this show, it is everyone from Plain White Tees to, I believe, Stevie Nicks. To like the people that have worked on music for this musical is quite a plethora of things. So that will open this Friday, the 6th of February at 6 p.m. and then have performances on Saturday and Sunday, the 7th and 8th at 12, 2 and 4 p.m. So again, $7. You can get it in before the Super Bowl on Sunday. So you can still come see it on Sunday before the Super Bowl kickoff. So yeah, it's a really fun time. Great way to introduce kids to theater.
I know I'm not the target audience for this, but I just never got the SpongeBob SquarePants thing. But young people love
they
it.
They do. And it's
they just love it.
It keeps the fun of the cartoon alive on stage, which is wonderful. And they came over last night and they were rehearsing and blocking and singing their hearts out. So it was great to see.
SpongeBob is there, huh?
SpongeBob is there. Yes.
Whoa. Again, I know I'm not the target audience, but young people love that
Squidward,
show.
Mr. Krabs, all those people.
Well, what was it? Mr. Krabs?
Mr. Krabs.
Oof, I don't like the sound of that. Okay, and coming up on Valentine's Day is Jeans Jazz.
Our next Jeans Jazz concert, it is the Neil Davis and Steve Peplin guitar duo, and then Harmonious Whale. I do know that there's probably only about 100-ish tickets left for this one, so if you want a date night, I would say get on that sooner than later. The guitar duo is obviously going to be dueling it up with guitars. And then Harmonious Whale, actually, Sims Delaney Pothoff is a member of it. He is a Racine native. So that is a group that will be bringing some great jazz to the theater. A little gypsy jazz, actually, is their theme on the 14th at 7 p.m.
Coming up, and limited edition, will be the Whiskey Bells. And this is coming up the next week after Valentine's Day, February 21st.
The 21st. That's 7:30. So the Whiskey Bells is a local group here. It's a trio of women that pay tribute to classic country, modern country, bluegrass, et cetera, and so forth. They take inspiration from everything from the Chicks to Hank Williams, and they have some of their own music as well. So it'll be a great... Again, a great white night to escape the cold and come spend an evening in the theater. I know that they performed at a lot of local outdoor venues and things like that. So this is our first time having them, and we're very excited about it.
You got to say it like the King and I, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Et cetera.
You got to say it like
et cetera.
Jocelyn Fish, Director of Marketing and Development for the Racine Theater Guild, is with me this morning. And we're talking about all the shows coming up for February. Mm-hmm. If you're just tuning in, we'll do a quick review before she leaves. Let's talk about the next show up after Ripcord. It's A Mystery, The Girl on the Train.
Yes, I would really... It's interesting. I don't know if I'd categorize it as a mystery. It is a psychological thriller, though.
Okay.
So, like... It's its neighbor, I guess. So this is based off of the best-selling book by Paula Hawkins, and then it was turned into a movie that starred Emily Blunt.
By the way.
Yeah, so it is a very, very theatrical show because Rachel, our main character, is having a lot of uncertainty about what is reality and what is her memory and what has she been gaslighted into believing. Pretty much the premise of the show is that she's on a train and sees this very perfect couple from the window every single day, and she wants to be them. And then the woman in that couple goes missing, and she somehow becomes a suspect, but also an investigator in this missing woman. And it's quite something. It will be really interesting to see it all staged. They're right into rehearsals right now. They're going to move on to the stage probably next week and get ready to open on February 27th and run through March 15th.
Now, there was an Alfred Hitchcock movie, because we have every Alfred Hitchcock movie on DVD and Blu-ray. It was called Lady on the Train.
Oh.
And she's traveling on a train, and through one of the apartment building windows, she sees a murder.
Ah.
And, of course, you know, it's trying to get people to believe find the exact spot. No trace of the murder, but she did see it.
She saw it, yeah.
Lady on a Train. That was from the 1930s, Alfred Hitchcock. Well, good movie.
Mm.
Yeah, I love the movie with Emily Blunt. Yeah. That was good. I'd love to see it on the stage, though.
Yeah, I think it will be really interesting.
And kudos, whoever designs the stage for these shows.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even for Ripcord, you had to do a stair show cemetery type of spook show.
Multiple things happening on that stage at once,
and you still had to keep that bedroom scene on stage.
Right.
And whoever does that.
Yeah, that one was, so we contracted in actually a local set designer. So that was Steve Barnes. He lives here in Racine, and he works for all kinds of companies, theater companies in the area. Sarah Hunt Frank works with us, and she'll be doing The Hobbit. And then Liz Otto Kramer is also one of our main set designers, as well as M. Allen, who is doing the Girl on the Train one, which there are some really cool train track situations happening in that design. So,
and you guys have one little problem that most theaters don't have. you don't have a curtain down.
No curtain.
Everything's done right in front of everybody.
I think that's really one of the cool things is that you see the theater magic truly unfolding in front of you, because you see every moment of a set change or a scenic change or what have you.
Well, you do the blackout.
I mean, yes. But, you know, it's the audience is part of the entire production. They are part of every single moment, not just witnessing the acting, obviously, but seeing all these great volunteer crew members coming in and changing the set, setting the props, et cetera, and so forth.
And even the back, whatever is in the back, on the back wall, it's got to be usable in so many different scenes.
For sure.
And it's just great. I'm amazed by every time I see the set designs for these shows.
Right. Yeah.
And then you got to make them all useful.
Right.
And then you got to have the people with the black shirts changing everything around and the blackouts and getting it in the right spot.
And Jane Cernick is our technical director. So she gets those designs from the scenic designers and then her crew. She's got kind of a crew of volunteers backstage, which we are always looking for, especially in construction, that build those sets and build all those elements. So it's quite the process. And as you can see, this is a very tight turnaround. We just closed Ripcord on February 1st, and we open Girl on the Train on February 27th. That is 26 days to get everything together.
Everything's cast for the show,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, The Hobbit, is that all cast?
I have not seen the official cast list. I know Parker was working on it. We had over 55 people, I think, audition for the show. Yes, wonderful turnout. Very excited people. So that is getting into...
A couple of Bensons in there?
I don't know. We'll find out, I guess. That one is going to get into rehearsals. So that will run in April, actually. And that also has the outreach performances for local schools. So if there are schools that may want to attend, they can call the box office at 633-4218. And we will get them that information. And then we actually also at the end of February will be having Pippin auditions. So Pippin will go up in May, but auditions are actually going to be February 28th and March 1st.
See, that's tricky because you gotta sing and dance.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a big...
And that is Bob Fosse dancing, too,
yes,
you know?
Yes, right.
Very strategic movements, very, you know, Ben Vereen as the lead player on the original Broadway production, and then Patina Miller in the... revival, just the movement of everyone in that
and great
show.
Songs in that show.
Great songs.
So the auditions start then, and you better sing and dance.
yes. And so I think that that's a great show as well because it has a lot, a very wide age range of casting opportunities. We're doing 16 and older for the ensemble, and then there is Theo, who is a young boy. He is 12 to 15 is his age range. So lots of different people can come out and audition for that.
Jackson 5 had a huge hit from that show,
yeah,
Corner of the Sky.
You played it for me, and I had never heard that before.
Corner of the Sky, yeah. I love that song by the Jackson 5, and it came from Pippin. A lot of good songs came from Pippin.
Yeah.
In the original Broadway cast of Pippin was Irene Ryan, who played Granny on the Beverly Hillbillies.
Yeah.
And they even make a reference to her in one of the songs.
Yeah.
A Granny. Yeah. They call me Granny, which was really good. I told you my Pippin story, didn't I?
Yes.
Okay, I'll tell you. When we talk about Pippin, when we come up to it,
yeah.
I'll refresh you on the story how I made a big mistake in life, and I won't do that again. Okay, let's do a quick review of all the shows we got coming up.
You can spend your entire February at the Racine Theater Guild is really the gist of this whole interview.
I'm putting a pup tent in the lobby. I'm camping out
okay,
there.
Okay, good.
I'm just going to use one of the electrical sockets for breakfast, and then I'm
that
all
works.
Done.
If you make me an egg every morning, we'll be great.
I'll make an omelet. I am the best omelet maker that I know. Even my wife says... I make the best omelets. I mean, you put whatever you want in them. I put the right ingredients. And my eggs have a secret ingredient, heavy whipped cream. Heavy cream. I put it in there so it makes the eggs fluffy.
Yeah.
Don't worry. I'll take care of that. Okay, let's talk about the theater. Let's talk about the children's theater first because that's coming up real soon.
First weekend of February, February 6th through 8th, we have the SpongeBob Musical Youth Edition coming up. Again, those are $7 tickets for all ages, so it's a really, really great way to introduce kids to theater, only an hour long. They also get to meet the cast and crew afterwards and get some autographs and photos from them. And so Horlick, lots of students at Horlick are coming over to perform that, which is just wonderful.
Well, and now looking ahead there, Love Ruby Valentine. What's that? That's coming up in March.
That's based off of the book. And Sunset Playhouse Bug in a Rug production is coming down to do that. It's about...
What'd you just say?
Bug in a Rug. That's what their production company is called.
Okay.
And so that's based off of a book. It's about Ruby, who loves Valentine's Day. It is her favorite holiday. She makes all these cards, and she's so tired that she sleeps through Valentine's Day.
Aww.
And so she doesn't know what to do, and she learns that you can tell people that you love them any day of the year. Kind of idea.
Aww,
it's a very, very sweet show.
Usually when the guy sleeps through Valentine's Day, it's to avoid spending all that money. But yeah, okay. Oh, that's sad.
Yeah, but that will be it's a very sweet, very heartwarming show. So that will be great. That's coming up end of March, something like that.
How do you cast children in these shows? That's got to be tough.
So children's theater, we actually contract in different groups. So like Horlick is contracted in to bring in their students. Gilmore Fine Arts came and did that. And Bug in the Rug will too. But yeah, you got to herd extra cats when it comes to kids and shows.
And you can't berate them and yell at them because they didn't do something right.
No, it's a great learning process, actually. They learn a lot about what their personal responsibility is and how to project their voice and their body movement. And they really build a lot of confidence throughout the process of being in a show.
Well, the kids in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang and the Best Christmas Pageant Ever, they were great.
Yeah. Some of them are like just little professionals.
And is this the career they want?
Some of them, yes, very much so. Want to be an actor, want to be, you know, studying theater. We have actually a lot of people that started as kids at the Theater Guild that went on to study theater, you know, kind of idea, which is a really cool bridge to build.
Do you tell them there's a light on Broadway for every broken heart?
Well, and, you know, we're really fortunate in this area that, like, regional theaters, especially up in Milwaukee and down in Chicago and Minneapolis, you know, the Midwest has some really, really phenomenal regional theaters that a lot of people get involved with, too.
All right. And coming up, Gene's Jazz.
Valentine's Day. Yes, at 7 p.m. So that will be the Neil Davis and Steve Peplin guitar duo and then Harmonious Whale as well. So a little guitar jazz and then some gypsy jazz that night.
Let's look ahead in Gene's Jazz because you have March 28th.
I think it's Case. It's Case or Koss. It starts with a K. Okay. So I'm going to go with that. And then the Hannah Johnson Trio. So Case is going to be very interesting. It's actually turntables and live music. So that will be really interesting. Jamie Brevik is leading that group. And then Hannah Johnson and her trio. Hannah's a drummer. And so she's got a couple other musicians coming in with her.
You don't find too many female drummers. As a matter of fact, I was
She seems very nice. I've had great conversations with her.
I was in church the other day, and the young girl sits in front of me. She's one of the drummers in the band in church.
Cool.
And I was talking to her. I said, I can only think of two female drummers. One was the woman from the group The Honeycomb, Have I the Right, huge hit song in 65, and Karen Carpenter.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't think of any other female drummers that made it big, but obviously there are.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
And Saturday, April 25th, is Eric Jacobson, the music of Clifford Brown, Joy Spring.
Yes. So I had not heard of one of my favorite things about jazz in particular is it's not a genre I'm familiar with. So when I get these artists, I do a lot of research on them or who they are. So Clifford wrote this piece, Joy Spring, in tribute to his wife, and it became kind of his legacy because he died very young. I think he died at like 28, maybe 38. I might be getting that wrong. But so Eric Jacobson has come in and done this before. He did it with Miles Davis music. And so that was so wonderfully received that he's back to play the trumpet for us some more.
And in the limited edition series, the Whiskey Bells coming in on February 21st.
Yeah. Yes, yes. The Whiskey Bells, lots of great country music. It's a trio of local ladies who also play a tribute to bluegrass, have some of their own music. I think it's going to be a really fun night to spend at the theater.
But on the main stage, which is actually the same stage for all the shows we were talking about, is Girl on the Train.
Yes.
I called it a mystery. You called it a psychological thriller.
Yes. Okay. So I think it's, I would say that this one might be adult content in adult language. So just think about that, who you're bringing with you.
There were some adult words in the record show that it caught me by surprise. I didn't mind them, caught me by surprise.
So Girl on the Train, it's about, based off of the book, based off the movie, and Rachel sees this perfect couple from the window, and she's so obsessed with them and wants to be them, and then the woman disappears, and she starts to have flashbacks and confuse reality with memories, and it's really, really, you get inside her mind a little bit in the complicated web this weaves in her life. So yeah, that will go up February 27th and run through March 15th.
And how do you get tickets for everything we're talking about?
Everything we're talking about. Go to racinetheater.org. We've got all of those up there. You can call the box office at 262-633-4218. My goodness, I could tell it's early in the morning. I almost forgot her phone number. And then, of course, the box office is also open Monday through Friday, 12 to 6 p.m., and then 90 minutes before every performance.
And we have to remind you, those are the only two ways you should get tickets, either online or go to the box office. Yes. RacineTheater.org or go to the box office in person. Talk to one of the many delightful people there. Mm-hmm. Don't go to a third-party website because they will be charging you 3 to 4 times what the tickets are worth. So, again, if you're doing it online, RacineTheater.org is the only way to do it. Mm-hmm. Or if you're going there in person, just go to Northwestern Avenue to the theater itself, and the box office hours are generally open all day.
12 to 6.
Yeah, which would be all day. Okay. Thank you, Jocelyn.
Thanks so much, Don. Thanks for having me.
You good seeing you. We'll see you when we get closer to Girl on the Train.
Great.
We'll talk again. All right.